You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Hope you are having an amazing Sunday afternoon. For those on the East Coast, it's about 6 p.m., so it's probably getting ready to sunset, I would think.
I think the sun has already set out in the East Coast.
Hey, possibly. Tony St. Tone, welcome.
Thank you. I was actually just talking to my dad this morning, and he said it's very, very cold out there.
He's in New England. He's in Connecticut.
And they've already had, like, their 13th snowstorm this year.
Oh, so is that all?
He's over it. I'm over it. That's why I left about 15 years ago, because I couldn't handle the snow anymore. I was over
Well,
it.
Maybe those listening, we could warm them up today with a great show. We've got some really cool things to teach about today. We're not usually a teaching channel, but we got some really interesting stuff coming on. We were discussing over the weekend how, well, first of all, we went to an event. We performed at an event, our band, St. Tone. And it was at a place called Top Secret, and it was a benefit for Safe Passage.
Yes. Yes, and Safe Passage is something that we've talked about in the past before. A friend of ours, who was actually our first show, Kiko Ellsworth, you might know him. He's an actor who was on
General Hospital.
General Hospital and whatever.
Many other things.
I can't remember the other show.
Yeah, he's going to list a mile long.
He is the vice president of Safe Passage, and Trish Steele is actually the president and founder of Safe Passage. And it's for women that are involved in domestic violence, and what they do is they help get women and children out of that situation. And they don't just remove them from the situation, which I like a lot. They actually take them and they rehabilitate them. They actually go through
completely.
Counseling and stuff. So that way they don't end up in the same situation again where they're dating one guy, get rid of him, and start dating the same
guy. And these are also very extreme cases where a lot of times they'll get the information on these people from the police department, and a lot of times there's significant physical damage to the degree where they need teeth, they need plastic surgery on their face. There's a lot of major physical damage. So what these guys do is they get a bunch of people to volunteer and help them put money together so that they can rehab mothers and their children.
Yeah, it's an excellent cause, and I know they've been around for about 4 or 5 years, and we're going to be talking to Trish Steele more about it
so,
in the weeks to come.
Yeah, and so the place that we performed at for Safe Passage was a place called Top Secret, which I thought was a great name. Top Secret is it's a young lady named Denise who does hair weaves. But what's really cool about that in relation to Humanitarian Radio is she wants to do a combination with us where we go around to All Children's Hospital and we go room to room and sing. We've done that in the past, Tony and I. But she wants to give them fake mohawks that she's made with her hair extensions. And so what she did for these girls for Safe Passage over the weekend was did their makeovers and gave them new fresh hair looks and, you know, and they got them new clothing and they just gave them makeovers.
Yeah, and they did a photo shoot, which I thought was excellent.
Channel 2 was there.
Yeah.
So we got a little splash on the local news for Tony and I and for the organization. That was cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And, again, I think it's excellent because, I mean, what you're doing is you're building someone's self-esteem and you're giving them a brand new start. So if, it might sound so simple getting hair and makeup done, but getting hair and makeup done and then having a photo shoot and going, wow, this is the new me. This is someone that I want to become and that I'm evolving into. And changing the physical outside sometimes helps to change the inside.
Totally, totally. And that's part of what our show is about. That's what inspired the idea for our show today. We're going to have a friend of ours on. His name is Rick Mealy. He's been on our show before, so you may have heard him in the past. He talks about Reiki and chakras and personal things that you can do to kind of cleanse and clean your body. And it made me go, geez, and I mean that in a mental way, I was thinking it's almost spring. We're in the middle of February already. So what if we were to do a mental spring cleaning? How would you do that?
Well, I think Reiki is a good thing to start with. And, you know, when you start thinking about these women that we were just involved with this past weekend, what they're trying to do is they're trying to change their lives. And spring is always a time for
fresh start.
Fresh starts and new beginnings. So, you know, if you were to think to yourself, what have you been holding on to?
Yeah.
What types of things have you been holding on to in your mental bank that you can let go of?
It's time to shake loose of.
A perfect example is Janie and I were in the middle of a move, And we started finding a lot of things that we've been carrying around that we don't really need.
For 30-plus years.
Yeah. Well, you know, you start when you start moving a lot,
wow,
you start realizing.
Wow, I made this picture in the eighth grade.
You start realizing what you've been holding on to. And sometimes they bring up good memories, and other times they bring up not-so-fond memories. You're like, why am I still carrying this around? And sometimes you just feel like, you know, I really don't need that anymore.
It's a purging.
Yeah, it's a purging, and it's a letting go of things that you've held on to mentally and physically.
It
so,
opens up space for new thought to come in. It
and
opens
for new
up,
items.
Yep.
And for new things to come in.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's worthwhile to consider a spring clean in a bunch of different fashions, no matter who you are.
You know, there's a thing
spring
called
and fall.
Feng Shui, and I know that I've dealt with it and I've studied it a bit, and I know Janie has. But basically what it is that every object has certain types of energy that it carries with it. And in your home, there could be some stagnant areas. So one thing that to really look into is feng shui, and there's some really complicated, deep books out there, but there's another book that I recommend that was probably the easiest. It's called Change Your Stuff, Change Your Life. And basically what it does is you're moving around some things because your room is basically broken up into nine different categories. And each section is related to either to health, to family, to finance.
Right.
And just as you look around your room, there could be some parts of your house that have just been really cluttered for a long time. And just getting in there and
shaking it up,
you'll be amazed on what you let go of, because it's just like dead areas of space. And I think moving, though so many people hate to move, and trust me, no one really likes to move stuff around, it really does shake things up for you, and it gives you a new perspective, and you get to let go of a lot of stuff. So you don't have to physically move into a whole new house to do that. You can just go into your closet and go, have I ever really worn this shirt that I've
been holding? You could do that in a drawer of your dresser, in a cabinet in your kitchen. But what I was going to say is I would imagine you can probably find that information out on the internet without like literally having to go buy a book of what rooms are what or what areas in your house are, you know.
Yeah, it's really
related
easy.
To
it's
what?
It's broken down into four. I keep saying four. I don't know why I keep saying four. But it's broken down into nine sections.
Four, nine. You know, they're pretty close.
And it all is based on your front door. So as soon as your front door, you know, you start looking around. And it's really, really cool when you start breaking it down. And, again, you'll get a better perspective of going, wow, my finances haven't been doing that well. And if you look into your far right corner, which is your finance, I believe, you'll see if that room is cluttered or if it has certain plants that don't belong there and stuff. This is
fresh
stuff
start.
that has been taught over the years. I mean, long.
Yeah,
long
this
time.
Isn't old. This is. I mean, this isn't new. I'm sorry. This is like a Chinese thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's, you know, spring cleaning is important. A lot of people will say to me, I'd love to do an event, and I'd love to do this and that, or I had the dream to be this or to be that, but I have so much in my head that I can't go forward. I'm like, I can't take on anything else. And a lot of times, you can clean out a good portion of what's in your head by looking around what's in your house, what's in your car, what's around your desk, and clean it out. So this is a spring cleaning show.
Yeah.
For the mind.
It's a time to let go, and we're going to perform a song called Let Go in a little bit that I wrote, but it's basically going to be the theme for this show is trying to get a new beginning and try to find a new way to let go of the old and welcome the new.
Yep.
We obviously are in February, and a lot of people might have made New Year's resolutions, and we've talked about that in the past. So what is it that you want to change for this new year, you know?
It's
the year
time.
Keeps moving forward.
If you haven't started on your new path for 2014, get your booty in gear. Let's go.
We're halfway through February, people. So I'm going to play this song. It's a song I wrote. It's on the album World Radio 13. It's a song called Let Go.
Excellent.
She came down by the river. She came to wash my soul. We
Let Go by Saint Tone. If you want to check that song out, you can find it at www.sainttone.com and click on World Radio and you'll be able to download that song. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Humanitarian Radio. My name is Tony Saint Tone.
And I'm Janie Beauclair. Welcome to this Sunday afternoon of Brain Food.
Brain Food. Okay. So what we're talking about today is we're talking about clearing out your clutter, getting a fresh new start, a spring cleaning, if you will. And Janie has a list here of some ways that you can clear the clutter from your head.
Yeah, what we were talking about in the first half, just as a short review, is when you clear out old thoughts, old garbage, old things that have been bogging you down, whether it's in your head of instances and things that you've been carrying around for a lot of years, or whether it's things in your house. Tony was talking about clutter in your house and that type of thing, doing feng shui, and really do a cleaning of the things around you to jumpstart you and propel you into doing greater things. So you have room in your head to have better, new, fresh thoughts. So I was checking out this website. It's called realbuzz.com, and they were talking about signs and symptoms of stress. And a lot of people experience what is diagnosed as stress simply because they have too much clutter in their mind.
Weren't we watching a show last night where the kid was 3 years old?
3 years old, diagnosed stress. With stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
I was freaking out on that one night. I'm like, how
can
you say
old.
It 3 years old?
How do you have stress
Play
and anxiety?
With the kid. Let him have some fun. Don't be anyway. So serious. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So decluttering your mind. This is the top 10 tips to declutter your mind. And a lot of these are, to me, they just sound like common sense, but if you're not thinking in this realm, then maybe it's not common sense and it's good information for you. So we're going to share it all.
And also just keep in mind that sometimes we don't actually go and look up a list to how to clear your mind. They just think you just do it or you don't do it. So hopefully this will just shine some light on it.
Okay, so the first one, number one tip to clear your mind, make a list of your tasks.
Actually, you know, they say if you were to write a list before you go to bed of the things you need to do in the morning, you will sleep that much better. Because what happens is you go to bed and you're going, I can't forget to do this. I have to remember to do that. Oh, I got to do this tomorrow morning. And I have to do that tomorrow. And if you were to write everything down in a to-do list, what you have to do the very next day, they say that helps you sleep much easier because you're not spinning and spinning and spinning.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense because when I read this article about, you know, making a list, they're saying if you have a particularly large number of things to remember, then write it down, because rather than having to store that stuff in your head, you put it either on your computer, which they're saying email it to your phone so that you can see it, talk into the notes of your phone as an easy remedy if you're a phone, you know, person that really utilizes the features on your phone.
Yeah.
Write it on a piece of paper and put it in your pocket. But the whole idea is stop having to remember it. Stop having to keep that information in your head. There, you just unloaded a section of, oh, my God, I can't forget. I got to do this. I got to take the kids here. I got to go do this at work, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it makes a lot of sense to me. The next one is write a diary. If you have lots of anxieties and worries, then write them down, because as soon as you write them down, you've now pulled it out of your head.
You can almost write a book.
A blog, it says.
I'll write a
Start
blog.
Blogging about your thoughts as anonymously if you wanted to. It's not like you got to share it, you know, like personal information. But the idea is, again, download it from your head into something else.
I like it.
Get organized. Well, weren't we just talking about that? Your mind will often be full of thoughts such as, where do I put my wallet? Do I need to do a food shop today? You know, on and on and on. Your keys probably being the worst culprits of things you search for regularly. Put a hook on the door, on the wall.
And we just did that this morning, by the way. So we put a hook on the wall right by the door.
Coincidentally. So, again, get yourself organized. Get a schedule together for you and adhere to it. Plan your day by the hour. At 8 o'clock, I'm going to get up. I'm going to make coffee. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to get ready for work. I'm going to go. By 10 o'clock, I'm going to have worked on my first project, which is yada, yada, yada. By 12 o'clock, I'm going to have my lunch and get on a schedule, because then your brain does not have to think about what its day is doing. And every day you're only filling in the changes of every day.
I was going to say, last week we spoke to Paula Regis. And
right,
she works
right.
From home. And if you do work from home, or if you're an entrepreneur and someone who wants to start doing things on your own and be your own boss, those are really important things to do, is adhering to some type of list of time schedule, I should say. Because when you're at work, obviously you punch in at 8 or 9 to 5 or whatever the schedule is. It's already pre-planned for you. And
right.
then you get home, and then you're scatterbrained because you have no idea what you need to do next.
Yeah.
So it takes some discipline and some organizational skills, but it's definitely very, very cool once you start using that.
Well, number 4 I thought was interesting, too, because you don't really think of this, but it says, let go of negativity. It's you and you alone who is in charge of what goes through your mind, but somehow many of us allow ourselves to become bogged down with negative thoughts. If you go around thinking negatively all the time, then you're never going to be in a particularly good mood, for starters. True. So it's best to let go of all negative thoughts whenever possible. Make a list, again with the list, of what in your life is negative. And now empty it from your brain, put it onto a list, and remove it. You've just cleaned up another spot in your head for good thought.
That could be a long list, or it could be a short list. But that's really interesting to actually write it down, because I would think that, well, you know, you usually think about it anyway, or it's usually there. You don't realize you have that much there. And again, this is stuff that you're carrying around with you. Maybe there's an employee that you don't get along with, or maybe there's someone in your life that just
rubs
you
the
wrong
way. Keeps taking your parking
spot. Yeah. So if that's the case, how do you remove that from your mind so you don't keep going back to the same old complaining and whining about someone or something that's going on?
And
how do you change it, and how do you let it go?
And with the list idea, I was just thinking about, we know a lady named Angel. She's a Native American lady, and she will do Indian readings on you, basically. She'll sit you on the floor with some feathers and some sage and give you a spiritual talking to in communication with Indians. One of the things that she will have you do is write a list of the things that are negative in your life. She has you light the list on fire and burn it, you know, in a appropriate setting, obviously. But that is one of their ways of what they say is watch the flames go into the air with all your negative thoughts and your troubles.
Yeah.
So another really interesting thing.
It's
a whole
other
culture that believes in that same thing.
It's a symbolic thing, I think. And if you actually have it written down, you're releasing it from yourself, and now you're burning it and going, okay, I release these negative thoughts from myself. So
number 5.
Good food for thought.
Learn to say no.
No.
No. No.
That's more difficult than you think for some people. Some people like to please others, and they're constantly saying, yes, I can do that, yes, I can do that, when really they want to say, no, I can't help you move today. No, I'm busy.
Sometimes if you just keep saying yes to something, it becomes a habit, and so you often get stuck with doing it. So train yourself to say no when you need to. If a coworker asks you to do something that is just putting way too much weight on you, say no. It's easy. Try it. The next thing is avoid...
Back up 1 second. I think some people say no all the time.
It's true.
Some people have
that.
We
know
a
few of those.
Yeah, some people have that down with no problem. So maybe learn from those people, the ones that always say no.
Yeah, hang out with them just for a day.
Yeah.
You'll get the idea.
And they're like, wow, you don't do anything.
Hey,
and
you know,
you're so stress-free.
We need to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with number 6. We're doing a 6, 1 through 10 list. So we're going to thank our sponsors momentarily, and we will be right back.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey, everybody. This is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
Affirmations,
wrapped in pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Steve Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always work it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And we are back. You're listening to Humanitarian Radio. And before the break, we were going through a list of the top 10 ways to clear clutter from your mind.
Yeah, this is from a website called realbuzz.com. And that's R-E-A-L-B-U-Z-Z.com. And what it's talking about is ways to reduce your stress, but also ways to get new thoughts into your head. And the best way to get new thought into your head is to remove old, bad, dead, negative, or a waste of space thought that's in there now. So we're on number six, and number six is talking about avoiding interruptions. It says if your head is swimming with things to be done, then you're getting interrupted frequently. So basically, you're causing your own mind chatter is what they're saying. You'll probably be getting nowhere, and you feel like your mind is in overload simply because you keep getting interrupted, allowing interruptions, or interrupting yourself.
Yes.
Very interesting. Simple things such as closing your office door, a sign to keep people, meaning children, husbands, bosses,
wives,
away from you for a certain time frame so that you can get accomplished a certain something will definitely remove the clutter from your mind. It will also help you to avoid being interrupted in other stages of your life. So in other things that you're doing, basically they're like, notice who's bugging you. And is there a certain time frame every day where you need to get something accomplished? I have these 2 hours that I have to work on this project and I can't be interrupted. And if I work on this project for 2 hours uninterrupted, it won't take me 3.5 hours interrupted.
What could you do? I have an idea, too. If you're a person that stays home, or an entrepreneur type, turn your phone off.
Yeah, that's a brilliant one.
Turn your phone off. Don't reply to text messages. I know someone very close to me that will start texting someone and just keep going and going and going, and will be texting four different people at the same time.
Really? So, what's his name?
It's a her. Anyway.
She's multitasking.
Yeah, you might know her really well. The point being is you can see how that just starts going into you're actually having four different conversations with four different people, and you're trying to do your job at the same time.
Yeah,
and
it happens.
I don't know how well you're going to be able to do any of those at the same time, unless you're Wonder Woman.
That would be me.
Yes.
Okay, so next is just do it. Don't put things off.
Just do it.
Just do it. You know, I always
say that some things that that I need to do, and when I look at them and go, you know what, this is something I don't care to do, but I know it has to be done. Just get on it, and as soon as you start, the quicker it gets done.
Yeah, it's like get it over with and out of your system, so you can stop stressing over it.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I could see how that would be a strong one, and I always say too, procrastination costs you money.
Yes.
Whether it costs you money because you had to pay something now as a result of your procrastination, as in a late fee, whether you missed an opportunity because you didn't jump on it. There's a lot of styles and types of procrastination, but in one direction or another, it always ends up to hit you in the pocket. So don't put things off. It'll relieve stress in a variety of ways. And again, the whole point of this is to clear your head so that you can have great new thoughts in there. You can find the space in your brain to take on new projects, to do things you've wanted to do, whether it's a humanitarian effort or something just that you need to do for yourself. Clear the spots in your mind and make some room. Now, tip number 8 out of 10. Sometimes you just miss the obvious. A solution to a problem can sometimes be staring you right in the face, but for some reason, you may be unable to see it. The more you wrestle with the problem, the more your mind gets bogged down, and cluttered and potentially unproductive thoughts start accumulating again. So what do? Seek help.
Ask a friend.
Enlist a friend. What, are you reading this?
Well.
Makes sense, though, doesn't it? Their perspective on the problem may be different and more useful. If you're looking at a different solution, it may serve you to look to someone else. Listen to your head. Quicker is better. Find a solution. Don't waste time.
Basically. Well, I think a lot of times people just feel like they can handle it, and then as soon as someone else walks in, you're like, it's so obvious. It's right there. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you're looking for a certain glass or you're looking for something in your house and someone goes, you know, the sunglasses.
It's right there.
Sunglasses are on your forehead.
They're on your head, right.
Right,
right
they
right.
are? You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
So we have two left, and the next one is take a break.
Take a break.
See that little breath right there? I was just taking a break. That was the silence.
Okay.
Some people just seem unable to give themselves a break. By doing so, they become more and more bogged down so that eventually they can't even think straight and they make more and more mistakes, which does what? Clutters the brain. Take a few minutes away from your current task or activity. This will help you clear your thoughts and then come back with a more refreshed and a greater clarity of thinking. A short break between tasks will make you far more productive than if you just waded through one consecutive task after another.
Yes, well, because then it seems overwhelming. You know, if you can put those two or three in, give yourself the reward, two or three in, give yourself the reward. And the reward could be, you know, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes. You know, it's really interesting. People that smokers.
Oh, they take breaks for themselves without a problem.
You know, they take breaks, but it's like, oh, I need my cigarette. But they step outside of their office or wherever they are, and as soon as they do that, they just start to take their own little break, and you go, wow, that's pretty cool that they can actually just do that. And what if you didn't smoke, but you said, I'm going to take 5 minutes out.
And breathe.
And
I'm going to go outside and grab some air.
I'm going to take a fresh
break. I'm
going to
smoke some
fresh
air.
Fresh break. Yeah. Instead
I
of
like
a cigarette
it, I
break,
like it.
A fresh air break.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, and I'm just as, again, I don't work in an office, but I'm wondering if you can do that. Like, can you step outside and just, instead of a cigarette break,
take five minutes
to just breathe?
I think you're supposed to get 15 minutes every hour of a break or something along those lines.
No, I'm not sure about
that.
It's
been a while.
It's been a while for me.
It's been a while since we've worked for other people.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't give myself those types of breaks. I should talk to my human resource person.
I think you should step outside and breathe for your break several times a day. Now, we do take breaks, though. In our job, and we go take a little walk or just literally step outside. And it does help me. I know, like, working on my taxes for my company, I find it to be overwhelming, not to a degree that I can't handle it, but it's more than I feel like taking on every single year. So what I've learned to do over the years is segment it into four pieces. I cut it into four stages. And so I do one stage, and I take a break for a day, and then I go back and do the next stage and take a break for a day, because for me, that's the best thing that I can do so that my mind stays fresh and I'm not making mistakes.
Exactly. And, you know, number 10 that we're about to say really surprises me.
Yeah, you know, it's not something you think about that would clutter your mind, but scientists have proved that it actually clutters your mind pretty significantly. Number 10, be honest.
Honestly.
Telling lies, even with the best of intentions, can only add to the workload on your brain. One lie often leads to another. We've been hearing that since we were little kids. And so you end up having to remember which lies you've told to cover which lies so you don't get caught that you've lied in the first place and yada, 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 and why even go there?
Well, they say if you say the truth, then you have less to remember.
Exactly. And see, that's what number 10 is. Our advice to you is to be honest about your feelings with people and your situations. For example, if you are put out or frustrated for any reason, then share it. Rather than lying and saying you're okay, you can help to offload some of that strain on your mind by telling the truth and telling how you feel about it. So, take control of your mind. If you follow some of these top 10 tips, you will find yourself back in control of your own mind. and your head will no longer be full of extraneous clutter and excessive information. Now you're making room for new, fresh, fabulous ideas and all the things that you want to do for yourself and for people around you. And why not? Spring's coming, man. It's February 15th.
And don't wait for spring, March, to start doing spring cleaning
out,
of your
man.
Brain.
Clean the house now. Clean your head now.
And, you know, honestly, if you start with little spots, you know, most people look at their closet, for example, and go, oh, God, I'm so overwhelmed, I couldn't even start. Or they'll pull everything out, very ambitious, and then they go halfway through and go, I can't do this, and they shove everything back in. If you take just little sections, you know, if you start off with your car, or if you start off with your desk, or then you move to your computer or your emails, I mean, God, I know that I have a ton of emails that I can easily get rid of, but they're just there. So every once in a while, I go through my spam stuff and just start deleting. Delete, delete, delete. There's a lot of stuff that's out there that we've been holding on to that we can let go of and move on. That being said, we are going to move on right now. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back with Rick Mealy, Reiki Master. So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
This is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals, push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out artisticjourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting now some good news for your soul.
Welcome back. We are here with Rick Mealy. Rick is a musician, but also, more than that, he is a Reiki master. So he's going to tell us all about Reiki in layman terms so we can all understand it. I know a lot of times people talk about their chakras and they're not sure if it's Chaka Khan or chock full of nuts. We wanted to get just a clear understanding of what is Reiki from a Reiki master. So here we are. Rick Mealy, come on aboard.
Hi.
Hey,
how you
Rick?
Guys doing?
Fabulous. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
We're so happy to have you join us today because
thank you for having me.
We want some clarity, if you will,
okay,
on a subject called Reiki.
Reiki. Reiki has a historical antecedent in the laying on of hands. Did Jesus practice Reiki? I don't know. He practiced something fairly close to it. It was probably something that he learned in the Far East, like Tibet or India in the Himalayas. But it was a technique that was lost to a lot of people. It was lost to civilization for quite a long time until the late 1800s, early 1900s, when a Japanese healer named Yasui Makao decided that he didn't much like all of the suffering that he was seeing in Japanese hospitals of the time. So he went off into the mountains and meditated for a little bit, and he came back down the mountain with a number of different techniques that he could use, all of which fall under the relaxation technique of Reiki. The premise behind Reiki is that you can relax your mind and you can relax whatever is going on inside of you. Other things might heal inside of you, so that if there's something in your energy field, for example, that is blocking you or is lingering in your energy field. We all have energy fields, by the way.
Now, is that what you're, when you say energy fields, I'm just trying to clarify for people.
Is that like
that
a force field?
No, it's like Luke. It's the Horus field. It's more of the, are we talking about your chakras, or are we just talking
we're
about
talking
just pure
about,
energy?
We're talking about the overall aura is what we're talking about. The chakras are how the body absorbs the energy that comes in from the rest of the universe. And really what Reiki is a manifestation of universal love. So
that's nice.
So that you have 7 major chakras on your body that more or less correspond to certain endocrine glands. You have about 20, 21 minor chakras, and then you have a whole range of smaller chakras, which I think correspond to acupressure, acupuncture points. Don't quote me on that, but I could be very mistaken about that.
So where are your main chakras that you work with in Reiki and many other realms?
I'll generally start with the 7 major chakras, which run up more or less up the spine. There are 7, starting from the bottom. You have the root, which is kind of sort of in between your legs.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sacrum, which is right above your genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
You have the solar plexus, which is more or less where your solar plexus is, just below your heart.
Okay.
You have the heart itself. You have the throat. You have the brow, which is between your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it the third eye.
Okay.
And you have one at the top of your head, the crown.
And then,
yeah, and each one is associated with a color, just so you people know that a lot of times when they show a photograph of someone sitting in a meditative state, they show these different colors.
Yeah.
And if you started from the bottom, what is the first color on the bottom?
The first color on the bottom would be red. Basically, if you think of the rainbow, it follows more or less the same pattern. It goes red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and then white would be the crown.
Okay.
And so do you physically, with your hands, touch these areas in order to get movement from them, or how does that work?
You can, but it's mostly internal guidance. It's mostly intuition. You can touch the so-called laying on of hands. I tend to favor that myself, but I've also done sessions where I didn't have to touch the person,
mm-hmm.
where I would just work in the energy field itself, and if I felt something that was wasn't what I was expecting to find, I knew something was going on there, and I needed to work there.
So when you say work in the energy field itself, what that looks like is your hand hovering over certain parts of the body, and you're feeling the energy from that person's body.
Right. To the layman, it's going to look like I'm just holding my hand still. But to a Reiki master, to me anyway, what happens is that the universal love of Reiki comes in through the crown, comes out the palms of my hands, goes through me first, of course, so it's healing me as much as it's healing the person that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out the palms of the hands, the energy is actually loosening whatever blockage is going on or whatever anomaly is happening in the energy field. So it's working in those fields, working in on those chakras is generally what I'm about when I'm working on somebody.
It's really amazing to think that your body is working in conjunction with someone else's body. It takes your energy and their energy in order to move the mountains within them.
True.
And it's pretty amazing when you think about your body. You're like giving your body permission to help and heal someone else's.
Yeah, I'm trying to give the person that I'm working on permission to relax, to actually forget about all their cares for a little while, to forget about all the things that they've been thinking about that have been weighing on them for a little bit, in order to see what really matters, you know, because once your mind gets into a certain state, you begin to see things that you would not ordinarily see. You might see things, you might understand things that maybe you were keeping buried under the surface, but are now rising to the surface with all this energy that's coming into you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So would you say, just out of curiosity, someone listening, and when would they know that they need a Reiki session? Would they physically know, or sometimes they might feel like, I have a really bad headache, or it could be like, you know what, I'm not feeling right.
I'm cranky all the time lately.
Or something's been irritating me internally, and I'm not really sure what it is. Can you sense when someone is almost out of alignment the way a chiropractor would? Is that what you feel that you do on an energy level?
I can see the aura. I can see whether a person is out of alignment, but unless I explicitly ask permission of that person to work on them, I'm not allowed to touch them. That's just one thing that a Reiki master should not be doing.
So so my question again is, if someone's feeling like they're in a funk for whatever reason, they can go and have a Reiki session done. And,
or more than one.
Or more than one. But once they start the Reiki session with you, you can quickly, because I've seen you do this, you could quickly pick up a spot on where there's a change in their an alignment. So it's like I see you put your hands in the lower back or in the crown chakra area and go, something's not right here. I'm not getting this heat.
That's
that
more
I
or less
should
what
be
happens,
getting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like a chiropractor would do with bones, you're doing with energy, saying,
yeah,
hey,
exactly,
this part of your alignment is out of whack, and I'm going to push it back into alignment. And whatever that might be, it might be a memory from the past, it might be something that you've been holding in for a long time that starts to manifest in the body, because I think a lot of times illness is manifested from ourselves, from things that we internalize as opposed to externalize.
Well, yeah, it's one thing about Reiki is that if with the certain relaxation that comes with Reiki, it can ward off disease. And what we experience as dis-ease is usually something that has started off coming into our energy field and then eventually gets internalized through the chakras. So disease can, you know, can be brought about by things, external things, as opposed to
sickness.
Yeah, well, not even just sickness, but also, sickness can get brought on by other things. If we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're too worried about some particular issue, we may be exposing ourselves to something in our energy field that will eventually internalize and turn into an actual disease.
Right, like when you say like an ulcer or an upset stomach, people are like, oh, he doesn't speak his mind as often as he wants to, and he keeps it held down, and you manifest into like my stomach is in knots.
That's not out of the realm of
possibility. There are people that say that cancer is started that way.
Right, where they maybe they've held on to some negativity
things.
Or internalizing some.
Well, I'm not a doctor,
anger.
Nor do I play one on TV. But
play one on radio, I heard. Yeah,
I understand. But
so Rick just came out to California from Connecticut and came out to pursue the many dreams of working on people that are acceptance of the craft of Reiki, but also being able to play music because he's a musician as well. Does Reiki come into play when you are creating and designing your music?
I wish it did to a larger extent than it does. It's starting to now that I'm here, but in the past it hasn't, unfortunately. The music that I've created up to this point has mostly been separate from the Reiki, but undertaking that music and undertaking Reiki at the same time, I've only been a master for a couple of years, was very healing for me. It was working on the music and working on self-Reiki was more of a healing experience than I could have ever dreamed possible.
So you could definitely, you could be led to believe, you could think that having Reiki in your life would help you in no matter what craft you're doing or what job you're doing or what it is that you're doing as a hobby, just because your natural flow of more specific energy focus.
Coming to any particular project from a state of balance, from a state of grounding, from a state of peace is necessarily going to inform whatever you happen to do with that project. It's going to inform your drive toward that project. It's going to inform your attitude toward that project. Coming at it from a peaceful place as opposed to a place where, okay, now I've got to do this, okay, now I've got to do that, and you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about what you've got to do, and you're not thinking about who you are and how you're being. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference between how a project turns out on the one hand and how a project turns out on the other hand.
Right, right, right.
Would you say that Reiki is something that someone can start to learn to do on themselves first, and then is that how, like, you've become a Reiki master? So is it a rigorous chore to become a Reiki master, or how do you start? How do you get involved in becoming a Reiki master? I guess
you
the best question is.
Well, first, the way it happened for me was that I obtained an interest in Reiki from someone that said that I had healing powers in my hands.
So they already sensed that you had something
that
coming.
Had the potential, but really what it was I was using my own energy in order to heal. I wasn't tapping into the universal energy at that point because I wasn't attuned at that point. There are a number of different attunements that you can undergo when you en route to becoming a Reiki master. Some teachers will teach that you need three attunements before you become a master. Some will only teach two. So I happen to teach two. So I had the interest, but I was also depleting myself of energy, and I was feeling very, very worn down every time I would touch this person, who happened to be a lover at the time. But when I became attuned to the first level, I started to tap into the universal energy. But it was only a certain amount of energy that was coming through me. When I got the second level attunement, more energy started to come through. And finally, when I became a master over a range of study of several months, and it didn't necessarily have to take me several months to do it, but it took me that long to be ready to do that and being in the right place at the right time. At that point, I became open to wider levels of energy, and I'm using only some of my own energy, but I'm not feeling nearly as depleted as I would have had I not undertaken the course to become a master.
Right. So when you become a master, basically you're starting to take energy from the universe to help heal those that are out of alignment, as opposed to depleting your own energy.
Right. It's
very
fair.
It's very similar to what we talked about earlier when I talked about the song called "Turn Yourself Around," where when you want to help someone else change their life and they're not ready, you can tell them and tell them and tell them, and you're exhausting a lot of your own energy to do so. But then if you took that same energy that you're putting out there and just use it on yourself and you raise your own vibration, others will see that you're teaching through example or leading through example.
Yeah, yeah. You start off, after you've gotten your first level attunement, you might want to spend an inordinate amount of time working on yourself, working on your pet, working on your food, the food that you eat. You can Reiki your food. That is, some people might consider that a form of prayer. Some people, might think otherwise. But you can actually operate on the things that are important to you. And when you become a second level, you might work on other people. You might also work on yourself a little bit more assiduously. But
let me ask you this. Do you do Reiki on yourself on a daily basis?
Absolutely.
Okay. So is it a hey, I wake up in the morning and start? Some people wake up in the morning and they do meditation, or they do meditation before they go to bed, or
say their prayers.
The day. Yeah. So when and how do you perform Reiki on yourself? Is it as a daily routine?
As needed, pretty much. I mean, I will always fall asleep performing Reiki on myself and trusting that the energy is going to continue to flow even as I sleep. But I will also do it on an as-needed basis during the day when I feel like I need grounding, when I feel like I need a little bit of insight, clarity, discernment. It can be done even in the space of 5 minutes. Even if you've only got 5 minutes to give yourself Reiki, if you're sitting in traffic, for example, you can give yourself Reiki and it'll have some effect. It may not have the kind of effect that that you might have from a regular 30-minute or an hour session, but 5 minutes is 5 minutes, and it's still not nothing.
If you can get 5 minutes of relaxation while you are sitting in L.A. traffic,
I vote
for Reiki for 5 minutes in the car on the 101 any day.
I like the way you think.
Yes, I was going to say that if you can take 5 minutes. I guarantee you that the listening audience, if they were to take 5 minutes to meditate, or 5 minutes to do Reiki, or 5 minutes just to
whatever your version
breathe
of meditation,
and
is,
just
amazing,
clear
though,
your mind, you'd be amazed on how much better you would feel every day.
It is kind of a meditative state that you get into when you know how to practice Reiki. I get into a meditative state when I'm working on somebody, when I'm working on myself, yes, of course, but also when I'm working on somebody else, I am getting into a meditative state, and sometimes I will get clairaudient and clairvoyant messages from someone's guides, my own or whoever it is that I'm working on. So getting into that meditative state leaves you open to that kind of insight.
I like that, taking the time to do some really good things to clear yourself. What I like to do is encourage people that they should get out there and help people in their communities and donate their time and do fundraisers and things of that nature, be a really good humanitarian.
Absolutely.
So I think that learning how to take a few minutes to, whether it's doing Reiki on yourself or on others, whether it is meditating, it's taking that few minutes to clear yourself so that you can see clearly how easy it is for you to help others.
Definitely. I totally agree. So, hey, I want to thank Rick Mealy, Reiki Master Musician, for being on our show today. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you for having me.
I really love having guests that teach us new things and or, you know, maybe you already know about this and it's just a refresher for you. The whole idea behind today's show is to clear the clutter in your mind so that you can have room to do some really cool things for humanity. Humanitarian radio, after all, is doing things that are not only good for yourself, but good for other people around you.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if you were to check out sainttone.com, SAINTTONE.com, you could find on there, we've got some really cool shows coming up in the next few months. And you guys, if you're in the Los Angeles area, or if you feel like you want to fly out to the LA area, there's some great, great events that you can come to. Your ticket purchase is going to a good cause because it's charities. Next weekend, for example, we're doing a charity with Mel Gibson. Following that, we're doing another one with Nancy Cartwright, who is the voice of Bart Simpson, at her home. That's always a great, great party. We've been doing that for the last 7-ish years now. And we were also just invited to perform at an event for Oliver Stone. My point of this is, we've got some really cool things that the band is always doing or Tony's doing as a solo performance or Tony and I as a duo. But there are things that you can get involved in for a variety of charities. So you're getting great entertainment. You're meeting celebrities, which is always a good time. You're doing red carpet events. If you've never been on one, that's, you know, a really cool thing too and a great reason to go out. And follow the band around and check out the really cool things that we are doing. And I said cool 15 times because this is really cool stuff. And if you're looking to get involved with any charity and don't know what to support, think about going to some of the things that bands and people around you are doing. So check out sainttone.com. Our schedule will always tell you how to find us, but more importantly, how to get your booty to these events and support what people are doing for the sake of their fellow human being.
That is it for this week. We will see you next week, same time, same channel.
Same bat channel.
Yeah.
Humanitarian Radio, feeding you good food for your soul.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.